Welcome to this Market Commentator podcast. My name is Ryk van Niekerk, and in this weekly podcast, I speak with leading investment professionals. My guest today is Nkareng Mpobane. She is the Chief Investment Officer at Ashburton Investments. Nkareng, welcome to the show. We're seeing a lot of volatility in the market, which is not different to what we've seen over the last few years, but most of the volatility on the JSE comes from foreign developments, especially the potential trade war between the US and China. That seems to be died down a bit. But overall, what is your view on the local and international market?
Emerging markets are under pressure generally, purely, or rather not purely, but to a large extent, driven by what's happening with the mentioned trade wars. And I think the risks there, you know, investors and market participants shouldn't take what's developing too lightly. So it seems like sentiment is that this potentially continues as you see Trump flexing his muscle towards the midterm elections, which is towards the end of this year, really. And it seems, you know, a lot of market participants placing greater weight on the likelihood of that outcome rather than, you know, tempers calming down and both China and the US pulling back. The sentiment is that potentially this grows into the Eurozone, and it's all very challenging. There's obviously the Brexit conclusion, which we're all watching for. So it really will unlikely to see a kind of uplift in markets as long as this kind of political uncertainty doesn't find its feet, and it's going to be largely driven by developed markets.
On the local market, we are seeing an interesting trend developing where the JSE All Share Index is down around 3.5% for the first 6 months of the year, and over the same period, the rand-dollar exchange rate weakened by 11%.
Yeah.
And one would expect that the JSE would have traded higher because of our rand hedges.
Yeah. Again, I think, so as you rightly say, a name like NASPER is chunky weighting on the All Share and really considered rand hedge. You've got British American Tobacco, Richemont, and all those kind of names, expecting that they'll realize a boost. But I really also think that there is a lot of the negative sentiment that I talked about around emerging markets. You know, we kind of see the JSE as kind of trading in fair value to somewhat expensive territory at the moment. And market participants, again, probably kind of realizing that on our index as well. So not the flavor at the moment.
But if you look at NASPERS, which is the dominant share on the JSE, the first 6 months of the year saw the share rise by about 35%, which does indicate that it's actually a lot worse if you take that share
if
out of the index.
Then the rest of the index is really down quite a bit. And as you rightly mentioned, while portfolios would have realized a boost from a name like NASPERS, I think most funds are underweight the share because it's so challenging to try and attain that kind of weighting in a portfolio. So most managers probably doing worse because of the underweight allocation to a name like NASPERS.
But if you, when should this trend normalize? Surely it is an outlier. The fact that Rand Hedges is not reacting to a weakening currency.
So I do think as markets or what I mentioned earlier about stabilization across the developed markets, I think then emerging markets come back into flavor, you know, that we would be expected to deliver growthier economic outputs rather relative to developed markets. So I think if you see stability in developed markets, then you could potentially see investors starting to pick up some of our markets again.
Yeah. Looking at the first half of the year performance of other markets, Southeast Asia was hit a lot harder than South Africa. The Shanghai index down 17%. It is in a bear market territory. The Hang Seng down 5%. And the Nikkei also got hit just around 3%. So the performance of the JSE is not out of kilter with other international emerging markets.
Not too much. So are those in local currency?
In rand, yes.
So I think also, while a lot of the shine has come off South Africa and the political uncertainty that we went through last year and a few years ago, what, so a lot of that halo effect has come off. But, you know, you're still seen as being on positive footing, really, relative to where we were. Obviously, there is the whole uncertainty around land reform. Until Cyril Ramaphosa is probably able to better demonstrate what he has in plan for, you know, on policy, there's likely to be this overhang on our market. So you're probably not going to see it rise as meaningfully as it could into the 2019 election. And at that time, we think that he'd be able to better stamp his authority and policy a lot more definitively and clearly.
We've seen political developments locally have a less and less severe impact on local markets. And when there is a bombshell, like we have three finance ministers over a weekend, there is a reaction, but it returns to the international norm and the correlation with international markets. How significant or severe do you think is the local political scene and the uncertainty we are currently seeing, which is not new, on markets?
I think that metric also fluctuates, right? As you made the point that change in finance minister, obviously we saw massive reactions on our market. But, and then once everything is seemingly stable, then our bigger driver on the market is more your developed markets and what's happening externally. So I think at the moment, we are in a period where our market is really determined by what's happening outside our borders. But when you, as you get closer to an event like an election, I think that sensitivity increases, the sensitivity of the influence of political outcomes on our markets. So I think you're likely to see that influence into 2019 rather than currently where we are.
Let's talk about some of the Ashburton funds. I'm looking at the Balanced Fund, you have exposure to Naspers. It is the third largest holding within the fund, around 6% of the fund Naspers. That had a nice jump, as we said earlier, in the first half of the year, but it's underweight. Obviously, to have the full weighting of the share on the JSE in a portfolio would increase risk. How do you determine at what level to actually keep your interest in this share?
In Naspers particularly. So we try to, you know, obviously as the share outperforms, it drifts higher and becomes a slightly more elevated weighting in your portfolio. So we try to keep it at around the 10% level. You'll know that, the CAPI index, which caps the weighting of Naspers on that particular index. So we do refer to it and kind of pull it back as it drifts higher. So, at 14 or so percent, it's starting to get quite significant in absolute terms, and we would probably trim it back at those levels.
Your equity fund also has a lot of exposure to commodities, as well as, it seems, financial shares. Standard Bank is in there, Sanlam, First Rand, and those sectors seem to be under pressure. Yeah. Do you think it still offers opportunity in the short and medium term?
Yeah. So I think, firstly, on resources, we are underweight, if you look relative to the index, but that underweight is really demonstrated in no exposure to single commodity companies like your platinum and gold sectors. So we do have an overweight position to your basic materials. So a name like Anglo's Billiton, we hold. Mondi, although we kind of regard it as an industrial company, is classified under resources. So that's exposure that we also have. And then within financials, we think that they still look relatively attractive from a valuation perspective. Do we think that earnings and profitability is going to come in very strongly this year? Unlikely, simply because of the period that we've come through. And we've obviously seen pressure in first quarter GDP. I think management teams across the banks are still a little bit nervous to open the taps a little bit and only likely to see earnings growth in more meaningful earnings growth into next year.
But PEs are really attractive, even with single-digit EPS growth.
Absolutely. And then those dividends also presenting very well. So I think a lot of investors also holding the banks for that particular reason.
Glencore, do you have any Glencore in your portfolio? Because it got really clapped this week.
Thankfully, no. We held it probably 2 years ago, but on a quality basis, when we looked at its balance sheet and some of the assets that it had on its portfolio, we sold it out. So relative to its peer group, like an Anglo and Billiton, we sold it out of our portfolios and preferred those two names relative to a Glencore. And thankfully so. So even from a quality perspective, having all the noise in the market, so their current troubles, it's not the first time they're going through this. So it's not a name that we really favored in the past year.
But although the market is moving sideways, you know, relatively, it still remains a stock picker's market. I just want to bring in the debate between passive and active. As you've said, the active managers mostly underweight in Naspers, and that is a big tick mark for passive funds, who is not always underweight. And it just puts more pressure on fund managers to pick the right shares. Okay. And it's not that easy, it seems, in the current market. Yep. How do you go about looking for those shares that may outperform the index?
Yeah. So our philosophy, I suppose, is really a top-down macro approach. So we talk about investing through the business cycle. So we really start at the top, where we look at what are the economic drivers in a particular economy. South Africa, for instance, what's our view on the interest rate cycle? What do we think about supply and demand dynamics globally? And that basically will drive, say, your resources sector, or interest rates will drive more your financials, etc. So we begin there, and from a bottom-up perspective, then we look at those stocks that offer good value that will play into whatever our view is of the of economic outcomes. So it's really about picking the sector, given your economic views, and then you pick the best counter from a balance sheet perspective, from market dominance. So we talk about, you know, sizable companies who are unlikely to get easily displaced. And we try to, you know, focus on those and expect that at decent valuations, you could realize some upside.
Just lastly, we are seeing some outflows from foreign investors. Are you concerned about those?
So we know that those kind of flows have generally been quite fickle. So as much as you would see outflows and chunks of it, you are also likely in time to realize decent inflows. So again, as soon as you start realizing stability and certainty around what's happening from a developed market perspective, then you're likely to see the inflows coming back in again.
Well, thank you so much for joining us in studio, and hopefully the market can make a bit of a U-turn in the second half of the year.
Yeah, good luck to all of us. Thank you.
That was Nkareng Mpobane. She is the Chief Investment Officer at Ashburton Investments.